Hello and welcome to our latest football podcast, which is a little different this week because in this episode, we're going off the beaten path of talking about the Mayo senior footballers, the search for a new manager, the club football scene, the split season and all the rest. And instead, we're going to hear from some people who are working at the grassroots of Mayo football to try and promote and grow the game in the county. Yes, it's that time of the year when the cool camps are a big topic of conversation in households and clubs all across the country, and Mayo is no different. So I took a trip last week out to Hollymount Carrimore GA Club to talk to some of the people who have spent all summer working with kids on the cool camp circuit, and I got a great insight into how the future of Mayo GA is taking shape on what was the last day of this summer's cool camps in Mayo. On the pod, you're going to hear from Mayo GA games manager Billy McNicholas. My chat with Billy takes up the bulk of the show, and among the topics we covered was what it was like working with a young Conor Mortimer back in his day as an attendee at a cool camp, Pierce Hanley and the big impact, the big impression he made on Billy Mack when he was a cool camp student as well. While we also look to what Mayo GA is doing at the moment in terms of coaching and games development on the ground with clubs to try and make sure that Mayo stays at the forefront of intercounty football. I also caught up with the newest Mayo GA games promotion officer, Denise Fahey, and I spoke with Gary Moore footballer Limog Horkin, a former Mayo minor captain and one of the cool camp coaches this summer. So take a listen, and we hope you enjoy it as much as we did. So it's a glorious Friday morning. We're standing in the saucer in Hollymount, home of Hollymount Carrimore GA Club, for the cool camp, the local cool camp. And before we speak to our first guest, a few numbers for you. 6,500 kids, boys and girls, have taken part in the cool camps in Mayo this year. 54 camps running across 7 weeks, 160 coaches making sure everything runs like clockwork. And the man standing beside me is the man that coordinates it, pulls it all together, and has done for, let's say, 20 plus years, 20 plus VAT. I'm talking to the games manager of Mayo GAA, Mr. Billy McNicholas. Billy, welcome back, first of all. It's a real pleasure to be here. Is this really work? When the sun is shining, it's 25 degrees and kids are out playing football. Can you really pass this off as work, Billy?
Mike, absolutely not. It's glorious, I must admit. And once again, I want to thank you for meeting me this morning and chatting to me about these things. Listen, it's wonderful. We're here in the saucer. Beautiful morning. It's been a beautiful summer. We've been very, very lucky. Just talking with some of my coaches here this morning, we haven't been rained off a single day, actually, over the 7 weeks, which is very, very unusual, trust me. Normally, we've had inclement weather down through the years, but this summer has been absolutely glorious. So it makes the job of running the camps a lot easier. Of course, there are the dangers of heat stroke and sunburn and everything goes with it, but we take our water breaks, we have three breaks during the course of the day, and we take more on a really hot day, get them in the shade for a while. So we've got to be very careful and cognizant of the safety of the children as well. But it makes the running of the activities so much easier.
Yep. If I was to ask you, Billy, what's different about the cool camp in 2022 than maybe the first one you were ever involved in? Yeah. In fact, you go so far back, you predate the cool camps. They weren't known as cool camps back in your day. It was just basically a summer camp where kids came and played football. But I'm sure things have changed a lot over the years.
They surely have, Mike. Yeah, I suppose back in the earlier days, there were obviously there only might be maybe eight, maybe nine camps in total. That would have been it, kind of, in specific regions. I remember very fondly, there used to be one held in Garrymore, right? Big camp, so all this kind of region would go there. And I remember there was a ladies' committee in Garrymore, the very first camp we arrived. When we arrived in the morning, they had the breakfast ready for us, rashers and sausages. Liam McHale was with me on those ones.
I'm sure Liam didn't pass on it.
He didn't pass on those, without a doubt. And then they'd ask us what we liked for dinner, and the dinner was provided. Just incredible. It was actually incredible. I think that worked well until the bill was sent into the Mayo County Board, and that ended all that. But it was brilliant. But they're kind of fond memories from then. I remember one day Liam as well brought Deora Marsh with him as well. So Deora Marsh came at the camp on a day. So we'd have lots of different different activities. But yeah, the kind of the difference, the main difference was the smaller amount of numbers and the smaller amount probably of children attending it. Back then you might have only a couple of hundred, maybe 600 or 700 children attending. Now it's a machine. It's a real kind of machine. It has to be. I've always said that this is a kind of an animal that grew, and until we put the cappings on the numbers, it was an animal that was going to get out of control of us, because we have to have our ratios, our coach-child ratio, right? And if we had left camps open for just normal booking, we'd be just swamped. You could get 10,000, do you know what I mean? 9 or 10,000, do you know what I mean? We just wouldn't have the capacity to handle that. So, but it's worked well. Clubs are very happy with it as well, which is the key element. The children seem to be very, very happy, and above all, the parents seem to be very happy with it, so we're happy. If they're happy, we're happy, right?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, Billy. Like, those numbers again. Yes. 54 camps in Mayo, 6,500 kids.
Yeah.
First question that springs to mind for me is, what is the secret of the success? Can we link some of that to the success of the Mayo senior football team over the last 10 or 12 years? Or what do you put it down to? That, as you said, if you didn't cap the camps, you could have potentially 10,000 kids over 7 weeks taking part in these camps.
Yeah, it's I suppose I came in as games manager, but before I was games manager, I was a games promotion officer, and prior to that then I've been a coach around schools, etc., running on the camps. I came in as games manager in 2006, and around that time, 2006-2007, there was a kind of a big review of everything that was being done in coaching and games development, and camps was a big part of that. And myself as games manager and the other games managers around the country were part of the process of designing and redeveloping what happens at camps and how they're organised and ran. That's what the guy at the time by the name of Charlie Harrison, next Sligo footballer, who was kind of put, he had the overall charge. There was Jimmy Darcy, his name, first, and then came Charlie Harrison. So the planning changed around how they were organised and ran, and then sponsors were seeked then around kind of coming in on the back of gear, the children's gear and so on and so forth, and this lovely gear started to appear, right? Okay, and that caught the eye big time of children and of parents, and of course in the value sector of it as well, they're very, very good value. But that of course coincided then with our Mayo senior team as well really getting on the crest of the wave, and we're a mad footballing county, do you know? So it was kind of a combination of everything, but they began to grow and grow, and we were always tweaking and trying to get better each year. We always do a review at the end of each year. I'll be doing the same at the end of this year with our coaches. I send out a review form to them all, 160, to see areas of kind of strengths and weaknesses. The parents will be reviewed then from national level as well, what they felt. That's done every year. And what comes back all the time from the parents and the children nationally is the fun element and the meeting of friends. They're always the top. I always thought it'd be kind of skill and skill development. No. It's fun, meeting new friends. So it's a real social aspect. And of course, what it does as well, it invites in, you have your club players, will be here involved of course, club members, but also invites in, anybody can come to a cool camp. So somebody that may not have played Gaelic football before, or hurling, or any of the Gaelic sports, will come and say, listen, we'll try a bit of that, under no pressure whatsoever, you know. And a lot of clubs have found that they're picking up extra players coming from the camps. Mm-hmm. They like it, and they join the club, and in they come. So it's a kind of an entry level as well for young parents and their children. So it's a combination of everything, right? A combination of everything. And they're just, they will keep... They seem to be over the last 4 or 5 years growing and growing. We felt maybe after COVID that it may dent the popularity of them. Not one bit. Once all the restrictions were cleared, numbers back again and more if we had them, do you know? So
I'm just watching, there's a game in full flight here behind us, and I recognise a few sons and daughters of people I would know. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, Billy, you must be almost at that point where are you now heading into cool camps, meeting sons and daughters of kids that you put through your hands back in the day? Because I know one of your coaches here today is Jenna Mortimer, who'd be a daughter of Kenneth. I'm sure he popped up at a camp in Shrule back in the day, and I'm sure there are many more as well. I mean, the circle keeps turning, and it keeps bringing through the next big name, the next county star, and the next club star as well.
Yeah, correct. It does. Listen, it's amazing. I have a lovely picture at home, actually, of we used to run this kind of back before the cool camp era itself, back when we had normal camps. We used to have these stars of the future and this kind of stuff. And I have a couple of excellent ones. One of a very, very young 10-year-old Killian O'Connor at a camp in Ball, winning star of the future. Being presented on the night by Cora Staunton and myself for presenting his award to him. So, and this was earmarked. This was something that was happening all the time, like, you know. And I remember very fondly as well, here going back to Gary Moore again, back to those days. A young Conor Mortimer here on the Gary Moore camp, you know, and a couple.
What was Conor Mortimer like when he was at a cool camp at what, 11 or 12 years of age? Yeah.
Oh, a very serious character. No, it was just Conor was Conor, absolutely. Yeah. Conor was Conor, but
as he says himself, yeah. kicking spinners,
absolutely. Like, you know, yeah.
Actually, what would a coach, Billy, of your reputation, say to a young lad who was hitting slicers from the sideline when you were probably trying to coach, striking the ball with the laser and keeping it simple?
Yeah, listen, I'm one of those kind of coaches that if it works, if this player is comfortable with it, why try and restrict that player, right? Yeah. Why not? If he's got this natural ability to do it. Brilliant, encourage that. Yeah. Go for it, absolutely.
You mentioned there a minute ago coaching and games development, It's a phrase we hear more and more and more. And I know a lot of people listening right now, they'll either be involved maybe in coaching a team in their club, or they'll be wondering who are the next batch of prospects maybe going to come through for Mayo, who will be the next Oisín Mullen or the next Tommy Conroy. But talk to me about where coaching and games development is at in Mayo at the moment, relative maybe to where it's come from. Yeah. And where you want it to go. Just give us a feel. I know Kieran Kilkenny obviously has been has been promoted and has taken on a new role. So maybe just give us an insight into summer of 2022, where things are at in terms of coaching and games development.
Yeah, like I mentioned already about the cool camps being an animal that's growing. Coaching and games development is similar. Very, very similar. There's initiatives coming out all the time from national level. And within ourselves that we designed ourselves and are bringing forward. So it's an area that's growing on a continuous basis, from the coach education elements to the school's coaching element. And that's going to bring me to a new project that has been rolled out to clubs. It's called the Club Coach Development Officer, right? And that is, we rolled it out in the four regions, met with the four regional coaching officers from all the clubs there. The chairman and secretaries are all invited into as well. All the information was given to them. And what's involved in that is that it's a 6-month placement for a sports science student, someone involved in sports science or into sports from the sports colleges around the country. I think there's about 12 of them in total that run those particular courses. And what's involved is the club will take them on for 6 months with the aid, financial aid of the Connacht GAA, Mayo GAA, and the club itself. The club will be paying, obviously, the vast majority of what it'll cost to run this placement for the 6 months. Connacht GAA, that's myself and Kyle Craig, who's the Connacht Games manager. We will do the recruitment element of these coaches. We'll interview them, we'll train them up, and then both myself then and our regional staff will monitor them within the clubs in the particular region that they're in. At the minute, currently there's 20 Mayo clubs have sent in their expression of interest form that they'd like to get involved in this process. Okay. So this coach then, their role for that 6 months is coaching into primary schools in the catchment areas of the club itself. Mm-hmm. And then assisting in the nursery program, the go against program up to under 12 with the club itself on the weekends or evenings or whenever they're running it as well. Mm-hmm. So we feel it'd be an absolute brilliant project for clubs to get involved in, where there's real input into their local schools that's feeding straight back into their club catchment area. Mm-hmm. That's we feel that'll work very, very well. So there's 20 clubs taking it up this year. We hope we'll take it up. They've sent in their expression of interest. We'll know if they want to take it up when they have to pay their first down payment, which is in about 2 months' time. Mm-hmm. Then we'll know exactly how many clubs want it. That's when we start our recruitment project. And this will be ready to go then in February of 2023. And those coaches will be in place then until the end of July, because they'll also work in the local cool camp for them and that kind of stuff as well. Okay. So that's a new initiative coming down the track here as well. Right?
That sounds to me, Billy, like one that's almost too good to pass up, in that clubs can't afford almost to let this opportunity pass by, because I know myself in my own club, it's a constant problem getting people in at the grassroots, in at the schools level, to keep the conveyor belt ticking over. Yes. Would you expect, if this goes well next year, more clubs to get involved?
I would feel smart, intelligent clubs that want to develop their players. This is going to be too good to be true, I feel. Now, this is year one of it, so I was hoping that maybe that not amount of clubs will take it up initially until we see ourselves how well it's going to work, and we'll get it bedded in and we'll find out is there pitfalls or whatever. But we feel the way we've planned out that there won't be, that this should work very, very well. What we're finding with our own development officers, they'll be going around to schools maybe in six-week blocks, and we just don't have enough development officers to cover all the schools that we have in Mayo. There's 162 primary schools in Mayo, so there's no hope that we can get to them. Not a hope.
And you have how many coaches?
We have, currently, we have Martin Costlow, we have Eugene Lavin, we've got Michael Fitzmaurice, we have Owen Sweeney, and now we have a brand new Denise Fahey is joining as well, and we have Adrian Heshner, our hurling against motion officer. So that's it. So we have six in total.
How many, in an ideal world, does Billy McNicholas feel Mayo need if they really wanted to be at the cutting edge, at the forefront of games, development, coaching, and let's be honest, making sure that Mayo senior teams remain competitive into the future?
Yeah. Well, I feel, now that's how long is a piece of string, right? But I feel we're really, and I'm just not saying this because I'm involved in myself, I really feel that what Mayo have been reducing over the last 15, 20 years, that the work that, particularly, I'm going to say our clubs here because that's where it starts, our clubs, our schools, with the aid then of our development officers, have been excellent. That synergy between everybody has been excellent. You know, and a lot of people may be giving out about games development, but I can guarantee you, our staff are absolutely flat out, working flat out all the time. And yes, if we had more, yes, it would be a help. But I feel this next project, if we can get this running properly, then our development officer can focus more maybe around coach to coaches sessions, that kind of stuff in clubs, okay, and the post primary school sector that bit more, and I think that will work very well too. But if we can get this club coach development officer working with the club in their club catchment area, in the schools of club catchment area, they'll make a real impact. Because what we're finding with our development officers, they'll do a 6-week block in the school, but they're gone, they move on, they have to go somewhere else then, right? Okay. And are those players coming from that school then into the club? Because maybe there isn't a connection between the club and the school, right? Where this new role, there's that automatic. They're saying, listen, we have under sevens and under sixes starting on Tuesday night. Are you in the club? No. Well, listen, I'll be there. So come on down. That friendly face that you see in the schoolyard will also be down the club with them as well. And I think that will bring in more players into the club without a doubt, you know?
So we're here at the Cool Camp, obviously, and that caters for kids in primary school and into secondary school.
Yes.
You mentioned the nurseries, the work being done at primary school's level, secondary school's level.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you about the other end, because it's something that came up during the season on the back of the Mayo under-17s getting to the All-Ireland final, obviously lost to Galway.
Yes.
And I remember quite a few years ago now, we attended the launch of the new pathway program at the time, that when players left minor, there was a pathway for them to follow to bring them through to under 21, keep them involved. That's no longer in play. For one reason or another, ceased to exist.
Yeah.
How important is it, do you think, that something is put in place again? I know there are limitations in terms of bodies and finance and all the rest of it, but you know, can Mayo afford again, say this season, the Mayo under-17s who aren't underage again next year? Obviously they drift away, they do their leaving certs, they go to college, and maybe they get called back in for an under-20 trial in a year or two, maybe they don't. Do we need to be looking at that again, do you think? Do we need to be trying to put something back in place, something structured, so that we don't lose maybe some young players, some talented young players?
Agree with you, Mike. Absolutely. That was probably about 8 years ago, so maybe. I remember it was after the 2013 champions, right, winning the minor. I think about 2014, so it was rolled into place. So Stephen Cohen's and the Jeremy's O'Connor's, all those lads were involved. Were involved. Darragh Doherty, Lord Mercy, he was involved as well. and it was the next stepping stone for that group, you know, prior to that under 2021 kind of bracket. Because it is very difficult once you come out of minor. They were 18 at that time, so they had a year on compared to the current group of crop of 17-year-olds. So I think it's very important that it definitely should be looked at, that there should be something in place, some sort of a developmental pathway for that group of 32, 33 players. I know there was 5 to 6 of them were under 16, so they'll be under 17 anyway. But now again, but things may change at conventional level this year. Change if it goes back to under 18 again, which there seems to be a fair groundswell, then these guys will be minor again next year and they'll be rolling again, right? Okay. But if not, I feel definitely there should be something put in place to keep them in the system developmental wise. All around their kind of their strength and conditioning, their diet, nutrition, around also maybe a couple of, you know, challenge games, quality challenge games for them as well going forward, just to keep them in the system, keep them monitored. And that's something I know that I, myself and Kieran Kenny, know he's the academy manager, we've spoken on at length, and it's something that we'll be definitely looking at and speaking with you know, county board about as well, and I'm sure they'll be very supportive of that as well, because we have an extremely talented group there at under 17, and also we have an extremely talented group at under 16 and 15 and our 14 as well. Mm-hmm. So we've very, very good conveyor system coming through with good quality high end players, right? Okay. Yeah. That want to play for Mayo, which is the key, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that to finish up, because again, I'm sure most people listening will be wondering, well, what does the future look like? And there are very few people better qualified than yourself to ask that question, because you can compare it with, you know, the last 20 plus years in terms of what's coming. What have you noticed, maybe, even to take this Cool Camp age group? Yes. And first thing that struck me when I walked through the gates, I could not believe the amount of young girls that are playing football. I mean, it's
wonderful.
It's great to see.
Wonderful, wonderful.
But, talk to me about the, you know, in terms of skills level, in terms of, you know, their development generally. Are kids now more skillful at a younger age because they take it up younger? As you mentioned, the under 6, under 7 nurseries. Can you already see some boys and girls here that you think have got what it takes maybe to go on and play at a very high level?
Well, definitely. It's, you know, to the kind of keen eye and even to the orny eye, you can definitely see those standout players, those skillful players, right? They'll stand out straight away. But of course, built around that, then to really make it right through is that desire and drive as well. We've seen lots of skillful players down through the years. I've seen them. They've just faded away because they just weren't willing to put in that real hard work and development that's needed to make it right through to the top end. Because when you look at our county, our club system, our underage system, then right through to our kind of adult club system, massively competitive. Massively competitive. And I know a great colleague of mine, Eugene Lavin, he often said, listen, if we put together a group of 18s, pick out 18s that we've seen around the county and train them up for 6 weeks, we'd put it up to any county, because that natural talent is there. That natural talent is there, you know, and it is. Are they as skillful as what they were back in the day? What we found, and this is a national, this is a worldwide issue, is the movement skills of the younger generation now is a lot different than when I was young, right? Okay, because now it's PlayStations and being carried everywhere by car and that kind of stuff. So that's a big area. That's what these nursery programs are about, is getting these fundamental movements. Try to get that. You're making up time. You gotta really coach that into young children now, because they just don't know how to do it, right? And until they get that element right, then the skill sets won't come on the back of that. So when you get that part right, the skill sets then will grow. You can build the skill set on top of that. I mean the football skill set, our hurling skill set on top of that. So there's time spent on that, and that's why the nursery is there. And of course, it's introducing them to the beautiful game that is Gaelic Games, right? That's there as well too. It's like, again, how long is that piece of string? Are they skillful? They probably are. Mm-hmm. They probably are. But there's a lot more work involved in getting it there now than maybe what was back in the day, right? Okay.
Yeah. I'm just thinking to myself, I wonder what Conor Mortimer would say if he heard you saying that the current crop are more skillful than his.
He totally disagree. Totally disagree. And rightly so, because Conor was a highly skillful player, as were an awful lot of these players. Because I've dealt with them. I dealt with them all. Conor as a Ted Webb player and under 15 player. Dealt with them all. Great, great, great people, every one of them.
If I was to put you on the spot now and first name that pops into your head, who was the best at this age in a Cool Camp? Who was the best footballer at their age?
Yeah.
at primary school, we'll say, where you just said to yourself, yeah, he is a right one, and he went on to become a right one.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of biased here because he's a friend of mine as well, but Pierce Stanley stood out the minute I saw him in Ballardine. I said, my God, you know, this fella's got it going on, right, okay?
You do realise, Billy, you've just broken the hearts of so many Mayo supporters who are listening right now who would have thought, oh my God.
Yeah. He was a serious man, serious operator, I must admit now, yeah, serious operator. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, funny, I want to just tell you a story at academy level at under 15. We used to run a week-long school of excellence in Castlebar. Dennis O'Boyle, Martin Connolly, Father Tommy Towey were involved at the time. So I was one of the coaches on it, and I got a call from, I won't mention the name, he's from Cavan, right? He was a games manager, Cavan, and over this Cavan under 15 team who were after winning an Ulster championship. They used to run this kind of county championships under 15 up there. And he's looking for a challenge game, right? Okay, to finish their year off because they were so brilliant in the whole lot. And he said, would you be up a team? And I said, we have two down in Castlebar, they're on here this week. He said, no, could you bring up? No, I want one. I said, no, I'll be bringing the two if we're bringing any. So we finally agreed anyway that we'd bring two and they were going to try and muscle together a second team. So when we arrived up in Breffany anyway, we were met by hundreds of people from Cavan, fathers and mothers and uncles and aunts too, you know, this massive team they had in the whole lot. Pierce Henley and Tom Parsons were midfield for our under 15 team, right? Okay. So we beat Cavan that day in Breffany Park by about 28 points. They couldn't get over this, right? Okay. And then our other team then beat this other, the other team, Cavan team didn't even score against our other team. So, and that was just for a week. We were just a week together, like, you know. That was on the Friday of that week, you know, after 4 days of training in Castlebar and working with them and that kind of stuff. They were just brilliant players, like, you know.
Yeah, they were generational players. Last one, you mentioned serious operators. I know you were telling me earlier you haven't had as many county footballers knocking around this summer because most of them got on a plane to America and more power to them. But you were telling me Stephen Cohen popped in, the Ballymun Carrimore footballer this morning. Can you maybe just to finish give us a little bit of an insight into what he said to the kids and just look, I can only assume how impressive he was. And as you said, this was completely off his own bat to just pop in and say hello. Yeah.
Well, Stephen is one of those generational players too, and people, great person. And I must admit, Mike, I think I said to you already, anytime down to the 25, 30 years I've been involved around camps and that kind of stuff, whenever we ask a Mayo senior player to come in and give us a hand of something, it's never a problem. They're here straight away. What do you want, Bill? No bother. They've been brilliant. They've been absolutely brilliant, I must admit. So this morning, he spoke to them all, brought them here in front of the stand. And it was about, you know, working on their skill set and their application and attitude, right? You know, and respectful of each other and respectful of their coaches and, you know, general good down-to-earth advice from a good person, you know. And that's what everybody wants to hear. Do you know what I mean? The other stuff will come. If we can get the good people right, the rest will follow suit, you know, without a doubt.
I like that bit. I'm sure you did too. Listen to your coaches, listen to Billy Mack. And on that note, there's a friend of mine involved in coaching at a cool camp in Dubai the last couple of years. And he was asking me when he was home during the summer for, you know, little tidbits of advice, like, you know. So, Billy, I have you here now. I have the guru of coaching. One piece of advice for a young coach trying to find his way in a cool camp, and in this case it just happens to be out in Dubai. It's nice work if you can get apart from asking you out next year to help, right, what's the most important piece of advice you could give him?
Be patient. Be very, very patient. Absolutely. Listen, what advice can I give? That's a big part. You got to be very, very patient because you're dealing with young children, young people and the whole lot. And, you know, and just have fun. Enjoy what you're doing. And if you enjoy what you're doing, they'll certainly enjoy what they're doing.
And you'd be up for a one-on-one coaching clinic in Dubai yourself?
No problem. As long as you came with me, Michael, it'd be no problem at all. Absolutely.
Billy Mack, pleasure talking to you as always. Thanks for your time. Hopefully we get to do it again next year.
Yeah, no problem, Mick. And just want to finish on, this is the final day of the 7-week project of Cool Camps. So I think I've met all my coaches this stage because I go around camp to camp. Unfortunately, this week I couldn't make the Clare Island or Dinnish Turk, which I was dying to do, but I was involved in the opening 2 days of the Connacht Playing Stadiums in Croke Park, which was wonderful. We had quite a number of clubs up from Mayo, which was brilliant. So that kind of ate into my time. But to make this whole project work, or staff, they're the key on the ground here. The operators' coordinators, the operators' problem solvers on site. They operate as adjustment of coaches from camp to camp. So they've been just brilliant. They operate as counsellors for young children that have issues, parents when they have problems. So that is very good. So without them, this thing would totally collapse without them. So I just want to thank them personally. They've been brilliant all summer. But, you know, because it is busy, you got to be really switched on. Mm-hmm. Keeping an eye out for issues and problems, and of course there's always going to be problems, but you've got to try and solve them. But on the whole, they've gone really, really well. I want to thank them. I want to thank the clubs for the use of their facilities, particularly all the parents, you know, for bringing their children here, and all the children that are here as well. And then behind the scene, the work that goes on behind the scene, our board, the support and help they give us. And we have a guy involved in payroll in Croke Park by the name of Keith McIntyre. He's the Balmullo man, great fella. He massive support as well. And Kieran Kilkenny, my GDA as well, he helps me out with a lot of the logistics and the online stuff and all too. So between the two of us, we do an awful lot of that, because there is an awful lot of online operational stuff behind it all as well, like, you know. So just want to thank everyone. And Mike, thanks yourself as well. You're always a great supporter. Thank you.
Well said, Billy. And as I said at the outset, yeah, I'm not quite sure if we can call this work, and I include myself in this.
Yeah.
We're standing in the middle of the saucer on a beautiful Friday, 25 degrees, watching Gaelic games in full swing. And the Cool Camps, I can confirm, another great success this year. Yeah. So I'm here now with the newest recruit to Billy McNicholas's team in Mayo, the Games Promotion Officer, Denise Fahey. Denise, welcome first of all to the podcast, and also welcome aboard to Team Billy Mac.
Thank you very much, Mike. Thank you.
We had to do that Irish thing when we met first of placing each other, and you may as well just break it down for us again. You have football connections left, right and centre, it's safe to say.
I have a few, yes. I suppose I started here in Hollymount back in the day myself. I played here in Hollymount many, many moons ago. Played a bit of football here because we had no club in Shrewl. My brother is Ger Butler, current manager of Bell. He's delighted with the group down there. They're doing well together. I'm married to a Galway man, I'll have to admit. My husband is Joe Fahey from Killannon. Joe is first cousins with Richie and Gary that played for Galway back when they won the All-Irelands. And also Ní Fahey, their sister, which is current Liverpool ladies captain, that have just gone up to the highest level over in England. So she's doing very well over there. She's just signed up a new contract as well to extend her time there.
You certainly have no shortage of advisors, and very well qualified advisors anyway, that's for sure. But we're in Hollymount Carrimore today, obviously. You've been busy around the county at various different Cool Camps. What's the whole experience been like for you this summer, and what will you take away from it when things wrap up here in a couple of hours?
Oh, it's brilliant. To be involved with the Cool Camps is an absolute pleasure. It's not like work at all. You come to work and basically from the coaches to the kids, everyone is happy to be here, and it's just a pleasure. It's a brilliant experience, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I was asking Billy earlier, and I don't think there's probably a short answer or one answer, but year after year you see the numbers growing, more and more kids taking part, and you start to wonder, like, what is the secret of its success? Because there are plenty of summer camps and plenty of sports camps, but there's only one Cool Camp.
Exactly, that's right. I suppose what I see the secret of it is not solely Gaelic football. So it suits everybody. There's games here from kids that have never touched a football. We have a guy here this year from Dubai, a young kid, back on his holidays for 3 weeks. I actually went to school with his mum. She's from Ballycushion. And he's here from Dubai. So, and everyone fits in. So they do rounders, they do chasing the coach, they do a wide, varied amount of games, as well as football, of course, as well. But nobody is left out of anything, basically. So it's all for one.
I wanted to ask you as well, specifically, about the growth in girls taking part in the Cool Camp, and, of course, the explosion in interest and promotion of ladies' football. Because I'm sure when you were playing back in the day with Hollymount, could you ever have imagined a scenario or a world like we have in 2022, where you've got all of these little girls who want to be the next Fiona McHale or Cora Staunton or Lisa Caffrey or whatever it is, and also the number of female coaches you have here today, and of course yourself, obviously now part and parcel of the Mayo coaching team as well?
Yes, I suppose it sits very precious with myself, because just last year I set up the LGFA in Shrewl Ghincorrup. So we're a newly formed club, just entered last year. So basically we set up last year with under 14, under 12 and under 10 offering. And then very quickly, within a few weeks, in fact, we got a request and quite a big demand in our own club for a junior ladies club, which we now have as well. And they entered the championship last year and they're entering all competition this year. So ladies football is unbelievably growing at a very, very fast pace at the moment. And it's absolutely brilliant to see it.
Just in terms of the message, I suppose, that you're trying to get across to the boys and the girls this week, what would you say are the most important points that from when they come in on Monday to when they leave on Friday, you try to drill into them as often as you can?
Fun. It's just so long as everybody's having fun. That's the main message here. Once everyone is having fun and everyone is kept safe, then we're the two main messages.
And I suppose when the weather is like this, it's obviously a little bit easier to have fun as well.
It is, it is. Now, there has been a few over the 6 weeks of being involved. There has been one or two drizzly days. But to be honest with you, Mike, the kids don't even notice that. Yeah. Once they're having fun and with their friends, they're happy out.
And I know you're at the beginning of your coaching journey with Mayo GAA, but what would you like to achieve maybe in your first year now? What kind of targets or what kind of things are you looking to do once you get in to the grassroots level and the schools go back and things start to really roll again?
I suppose just get more experience in coaching myself, make sure there's as many kids involved from every club as possible. There's always going to be a few that's not interested in football, but we can show them that there is an area in football for them as well. Because I've seen myself through the years in my own club and outside my own club, kids that wouldn't have been involved in football or thought they were great on the pitch, they might be the future secretaries, chairpersons, or they might create a club themselves in some place that there isn't a club visible. So everybody is as important as each other, whether you're the most talented footballer or whether you're on the fringes and not able to kick a ball.
That's a really good point. And I'm sure maybe a few budding referees here as well. I know there's a big recruitment drive on at the moment. Just to finish then, how will you feel when it's all over, when you turn the key on the door here in a couple of hours and the cool camps have come to an end?
I suppose it'll be a good time to rest, but at the same time, I have enjoyed every minute of it. So I'll be a bit sad to leave it until hopefully next year again I'll be involved again.
Denise, lovely talking to you, and give our regards to all your relations, Mayo, on either side of the border.
Exactly. Thank you.
So yeah, Limoges, I know this is your, as you say, your first camp. You're just back from the States, but what have your first impressions been? How have you found the week?
Oh, well, it's been good now. I'm doing it, this is part of my placement for teaching.
Oh, right.
So,
you're in Patsy, yeah?
I'm in Mary Lyle down in Limerick.
Oh, okay.
So just working with the kids now down here, just working with kids outside school, but the kids have been very good here now. And we brought myself and Brian out in America there for 8 weeks, and we brought the weather with us anyway, because it's nice now. It's nice out here. We haven't seen.
Yeah, how does this compare to San Fran?
It's not too bad now. It's around the same temperature this week, but yeah. I'd say now the next few weeks we'll get the rain again and we'll be back down to earth again.
And you were saying your own football career has kind of been put on hold with the ankle injury, yeah?
Yeah, I was playing there. I couldn't play any football out in America at all. I was out for the last 12 weeks or so with an ankle injury, but it's good to be back and playing football again, and it's great to see the kids out here and enjoying it and everything.
Yeah, yeah. I see you're wearing your under 20 Connacht top. Like, when the kids see that, what kind of questions are you getting asked?
Well, they're asking, do you play for Mayo and this and that? And sure, they don't know, but I tell them it was a while ago, all right. But they're delighted to see Stephen Cohen here today and see the Mayo captain and ask him a few questions. But it's good.
Because, of course, like, you're a proper celebrity in your own right. I mean, you're a former Mayo minor captain, you're a Mayo under 20, you have the Colemans behind you as well. Did you come through the cool camp system yourself as well? I'm sure you did.
I would have did a good few cool camps. Now there's just Gary Moore back when I was here. Yeah. Now there's a cool camp nearly in every club. But I went to two or three now in Gary Moore, but I didn't go to as many. I probably would have done a lot of soccer camp and playing a lot of soccer when I was younger. And it was just when I got older then and I got big into it with Coleman's and Gary Moore that I kind of focus on the Gaelic anymore. But I went to a few cool camps back when I was younger, and it was always good crack and great experience.
What's it like for a Gary Moore man coaching here in Ballymun Carrimore? If this was 20 or 30 years ago, you might have been able to get into the gate.
I know, it's not too bad now. There's a good few Gary Moore kids here. They did both camps, so I'm letting Gary Moore against Ballymount, and I'm joining in the Gary Moore team. So we won a few games there, so nothing's changed. We're still beating Ballymount. even if we're outnumbered with 4 against 15, I do join in with the kids.
You can take the man out of Gary Moore and all that. And tell me, just in terms of the skills and that when you're working with the kids, like, what are the fundamentals that maybe you taught, and now that you're playing obviously with Gary Moore and at a high level, that are still so important that you're trying to maybe pass on to the kids here? Like, what are the basics that you think, you know, are the foundation for everything else?
Well, the main thing I'd be getting to work on is, if you look at the difference between club and intercounty, it's usually the lads that are, obviously the lads in intercounty are serious athletes, but that's, you know, that's just hard work and natural ability. But the lads in intercounty, their shooting is probably a step or two above everyone else. You'd rarely see lads missing too many compared to maybe club. So I'd be just getting the lads to work on left and right foot and shooting and everything, and if they can work away at that, then that's stuff they can work on themselves in their own time.
Yeah.
So that's definitely just left and right foot, and then just attitude as well, just to keep working hard and keep going.
If I was to ask you, what's the one thing or the one sentence you hear at a cool camp from the kids more than anything else, what would it be?
Jeez, I'm on the spot now.
Probably something to do with a break or when do we get to play a game, is it?
Can I get an ice cream from the shop? That's probably the main one here in Hollymount. Will you get me an ice cream from the shop? Or
the shop being across the road,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, they're mad for ice creams now with this weather, so that's probably the main question. When they see me coming in with a few ice creams in, I do make them jealous. But yeah, can I go over to the shop for an ice cream? That's probably the main.
Like, that is brilliant. And yeah, and just to finish, Limo, because I know you have to get back to your group, what are your own ambitions this summer or this season with Gary Moore? You would be on most people's shortlists to be in the mix. Is that the feeling in Gary as well? Will you be thereabouts?
Well, we got to the county semi-final last year, and I think everyone certainly believes we can definitely try and go all the way this year. So we have the belief in us anyway, and it's just about working hard and getting back on the team now, getting training and getting fit again. But with championship in a few weeks now, everyone is buzzing and delighted to get going. But yeah, we're definitely very attention set on the county championship this year anyway.
And whoever gets this Mayo job, we'll find out fairly soon who the next Mayo manager will be. Should he be keeping an eye out for Liam O'Horkin, maybe?
That's not for me to decide now. That's for them to decide.
Yeah.
I can't say much about that, but we'll put the head down anyway. We'll keep going and working hard, and the best luck whoever gets it, and we'll see how it goes for them.
Great talking to you. And don't forget, if you are going to the shop, don't forget the Mayo news, lad.
I will. I'll get you a clip up.